insurance claims and provide photos of their progress at esurance.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. In a global economy, business opportunities exist all over the planet, and connections between millions of points around the globe have the potential to blossom. China and North Carolina are about as far apart geographically as you can get, but as China's economy grows, so do business opportunities. With that in mind, last month, officials from North Carolina and Alabama cities and towns went to China on a learning expedition. Among the American visitors was Huntersville Mayor Jill Swain. She was, in fact, the only elected official from our state to go. She says she returned with new knowledge and optimism about a future tie with China and our region. And evidently, the Chinese also see advantages in doing business in the American South. So this week, representatives from China are in our area on their own learning expedition, and a few of them join us for the hour. I'm going to do my best here now with pronunciation. Raymond Cheng, that I can do. His Chinese name is Lai Ming, correct?
Correct.
Raymond Cheng is CEO of China's Sozo Investment Advisory Group. His 30-year-plus career includes senior positions for technology giants like Apple, Compaq Computer, and Hewlett-Packard. He has also delivered keynote and lead speeches on technology and global trends throughout the United States and in the United Kingdom's House of Lords. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
We'll also be speaking with Lo Xuan, CEO of the Asian Lo Xuan, is that right? Okay, of the Asian Manufacturing Association. We'll be speaking to him through translator Ming Zhong. Also with us in our Spirit Square studio is Huntersville Mayor Jill Swain, who brought news of these exploratory visits to us. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
And welcome to you, Ming Zhong. I should
Thank
have said that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Elaine Cai is Vice President for Economic Development with the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce's Asian sector. Although she's involved in recruiting all sizes and types of business to Charlotte, she's been focusing on expanding Charlotte's international reach to China, where she also lived for a time, and she is fluent in Mandarin Chinese. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, given all the lip service being paid in North Carolina and in Charlotte about the importance of trade to our region, Jill, why were you the only elected official from North Carolina to go on this trip to China?
Probably lucky, I guess. Huntersville has the relationship and has had a relationship with Ray, with George Harris, who is our lobbyist. The Sozo Group has been very kind in updating us as to what's going on. And my board was very supportive when we had the opportunity to send me on the China trip. I will say it was a life-changing experience. And I see now that building relationships with the Chinese is integral in making Huntersville and the Charlotte region global.
That's difficult for the average person to fathom.
It really is. It was for me, too.
So explain it a little bit, if you can.
Well, let me say that when I went, I had the predisposed notions that probably everybody else did, that it was very hard to get into China. It would be very difficult to talk with the Chinese people. And I found that it was exactly the opposite, that I was embraced by a gracious and wonderful group of people who were willing, who were intrigued with what was going on with Americans as much as we are intrigued with what's going on with them. It's really more open than I was raised to believe. Mm-hmm. And I think Ray will probably reiterate that the timing is right.
Let's go back to how she was raised, because I think all people of our generation were raised. Mm-hmm. Chinese was a bastion of communism, and we were taught in the West to mm-hmm. be suspicious of and fearful of communists, and particularly communist China, until Richard Nixon went over there, I guess, and opened the door to at least initial conversations with the Chinese. The government there is still communist, although it's capitalistic communism, which is difficult for us to get our heads around. So explain that to me, Raymond.
I think it's a new form of government. They have the communist values, but in all sense of the word, they operate like a capitalist country. There are certain controls, but by and large, the focus is in the economy. It's in bettering the life for their people. So it is a miracle. They lift hundreds of millions of people out of poverty in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So one could argue whether that form of government is better than others, but they've proven that they have made it work so far.
Was it Deng Xiaoping who made this happen or started started this down this road?
Yes, absolutely. He is the hero. He's the one that actually reformed the economy, and he pushed that ahead. But never it's the entire central government.
Was that a dangerous thing for him to do back then, to take that first step?
Absolutely. I mean, anything that Chinese government does, because there's a central movement, they could move the country left, they could move the country right. Mm-hmm. That made some pretty drastic mistakes in the early days. But by opening up the economy, by doing massive infrastructure investment, they're getting the dividends right now. But again, what they do next is fairly important.
How many people went with you from North Carolina, Jill Swain?
I'm it.
You're it.
I am it.
So was you and a bunch of folks from Alabama?
Yes.
Were there a lot of elected officials from Alabama?
There were three elected officials from Alabama.
Why were we so reluctant to provide people to go to China?
It wasn't that we were reluctant. It was that we had the opportunity in Huntersville, and we were rare in that. And we took them up on it, and it was awesome.
Eileen, you're with the economic development part of the Charlotte Chamber, and I know that you concentrate, at least you're concentrating now, on China. Why is this part of the American continent, why is the American South, why is the Charlotte region even remotely known to China and even remotely interesting to China?
Well, Chinese investment in the States has increased very much in the past 10 years, and from $1 billion in 2001 to $74 billion in 2011. So we want a piece of that. And Charlotte, where it's located, is great for manufacturing projects, for IT-related projects. So we need to be proactively pursuing those projects.
I think I should ask this question also of Lo Xun, through our translator, Min Zhong. What is it, since Mr. Zhen is, Mr. Lo, rather, is involved in the American Manufacturing Association.
Asian Manufacturing Association.
Excuse me,
yep.
Thank you. What makes Charlotte and the region of the American South interesting to Chinese manufacturers?
He believes that there are two points which becomes attractive to the Chinese manufacturers. First is a southern hospitality. And feels that it's very comfortable to communicate with the southern people, people from American South.
第二个方面呢，因为中国的企业真正进入美国的还是比较少，而进入南部的更少。
Secondly, is because so far we still see not many Chinese companies locating in the South, so which means there's a great potential for the future.
Yeah, I must add, to add to what Kailin has said, the Chinese outbound investment is projected to go to somewhere around $2 trillion mm-hmm. over the next 8 years. But with all the rhetoric, all the fears, a lot of talks has been the Chinese is buying up America, but that's not true. It's really in the infancy stage. There's only 27,000 American being employed by Chinese companies versus 800,000 employed by the Japanese companies. So this is really at a starting point. And what is also happening is America is very much misunderstood by the Chinese. So if you go to China, most people don't know where Charlotte, obviously. They don't even understand where the Southeast is. Chinese look at America as New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Exactly.
And maybe Texas. But to add to Mr. Law's comment, until the mayor trip in May, they really didn't understand that such a thing exists and there was Southern hospitality.
I would like to hear from Lu Jing, what the Chinese impression of America is. When you think of the United States, what comes to mind? What just pops into your mind?
This is my first time to the United States, and I've been to several cities in the South, and I'm very impressed. To be honest, at this point, I don't think that the Chinese really understand America, and nor do the Americans understand Chinese. For example, earlier in our conversation, our host has asked about what exactly is the communist system running on a capitalist policy. And this in itself is something we need to further explain.
Yes. but since this is his first trip to this country, before he came, when he thought of the United States, what did he think?
So before I came, I think that the society of America is pretty complicated.
One of my concerns is about security, public safety. Secondly, I was concerned that people in America are pretty, hold a very, very proud, be proud, very proud of themselves. And third is, I thought that cities like New York City and Washington, D.C. would be very different from cities in China. But this trip has totally changed my view.
Really? So that we are similar in what way?
So
before I came over here, you all heard about like Fifth Avenue and the Empire State Building, and my impression that they'll be so big, so huge, that I'll be so thrilled. But once I came out of the airport in New York City and entering the city, I figure I don't feel myself out of place. I also feel more comfortable.
They have, for me, going to China, I thought it would be, I didn't realize how progressive it would be. And when we were in Shanghai, oh my gosh, the most beautiful city I've ever seen, and well, much bigger than New York.
Yes, well, in fact, they, the Chinese and all of that part of Asia are so far ahead of us in terms of infrastructure and mass transit and things like that. It's shocking, I would think.
It is, and I have repeated this many times. When we were in Bajang, we had the opportunity to see where their city is completely being planned out. And I told them at the time, I felt like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, because here I was in a magic kingdom that was actually being created with infrastructure, with relocation of buildings, with a technical community college, new highway system. And it's admirable, the fact that they are seeing and having a vision and acting on it.
Well, there is a downside to that. We don't have to get into that's not what this program is about. But there is a downside to that. People are being displaced out of their villages so they can build skyscrapers.
And they have plans for them. They have plans for them.
We have to take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about Chinese interaction with the American South, and particularly the Charlotte region in terms of business, with our five guests today. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and CPCC Summer Theater, presenting the classic Broadway musical Damn Yankees, June 21st through 29th at the Halton Theater. Details at tix.cpcc.edu. Well, with the end of the Cold War, the threat from nuclear weapons seemed to evaporate. No more evil empire with missiles aimed at us and ours at them. No possibility of a Cuban Missile Crisis repeat. But recently, North Korea has been flexing its muscles. Iran has been working on developing a nuclear program, and nuclear weapons could fall into the hands of a rogue individual or two out there. We talk about the nuclear dangers we face today, tomorrow at 9.
On the next I and Reem show, President Obama decides to send small arms and ammunition to Syria, what growing U.S. involvement means for Syria's ongoing civil war and political stability in the region.
Join the Diane Reem Show this morning from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Chinese-American relationship and particularly Charlotte's efforts and the Charlotte region's efforts to attract business both ways with China. This all started, at least came to our attention, through Jill Swain, who is the mayor of Huntersville, who last month went on a trip to China with folks from Alabama. She was the only elected official, and it turns out now the only person from North Carolina to go. But this has engendered a return visit in rather short order.
That's
Does
right.
it surprise you how quickly the Chinese have
Absolutely.
Arrived on our shore?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It must be something you said.
Raymond with my hugs.
That's right. That's what I'm told. We'll talk about that in a second. Raymond Chang is with us. He's the CEO of the Sozo Group. They are an international investment group. Eileen Cai is in Economic Development Director of the Charlotte Chamber with a particular concentration on Asia. Lo Jing is the CEO of the Asian Manufacturing Association, who is speaking to us through a translator, Ming Zhong, who has very kindly sat here and patiently translated back and forth, which just blows my mind, I got to tell you. let's talk a little bit about how your company functions, Raymond Chang. You facilitate transactions between Chinese businesses and other businesses in other parts of the world. Is that accurate?
A bit more on that. We started as an NGO. We wanted to bring corporate social responsibility to Chinese companies without much success in the early days. Then, by chance, we're accidental economic developers. We managed to convince a couple of them to follow the roadmap, and we brought the largest Chinese greenfield investment to Alabama after a 60 community selections. And now we're wholeheartedly into building bridges between U.S. and China. We have noticed there's been tremendous amount of work gone between China and U.S., and then every once in a while is being dampened by all the rhetoric during election here at the mm-hmm. city seasons. And not that much progress has been made. China outward investment has been huge, but it has gone to Australia, it's gone to Africa and South America.
Because of our political rhetoric? Or
a little bit of that, and also because of the stage of development. The reason why we say now is the right time, the right place, the right people, is for the past few years, the Chinese find investing in the United States rather cumbersome and complicated. It may be a misconception.
Because of regulation,
because of regulation, and also they have this notion that, you know, coming to the United States, the costs are high, people costs, environmental protection costs, and so forth. So they have been rather reluctant on investing, especially in manufacturing. But now Chinese manufacturing is at a turning point. All of our understanding Chinese are only a cheap manufacturing base is no longer true. Mm-hmm. China is actually at a turning point that manufacturing is now gone from a cost-based manufacturing to a value-based manufacturing. As they move up the stream, they have to understand who their customers are. They have to design world-class product, and they will have to compete as a world-class global brand. It necessitates that they invest in the United States, operate here, become American companies, and compete on a level playing field here.
There is a lot of anxiety associated with doing business with China in the United States, with the idea of Chinese investment in the United States. There are a lot of people who just say, whoa, and want to back away from this, and maybe there's some reason to be to have that anxiety. And some of this is associated with the differences in culture and practices, business practices. Some of the difference in our governmental structure, as you pointed out here. Some due to our concern over the rise of China as a world power. Well, that's a power that is threatening to displace us, either aggressively or just through the fact that of their enormous population and their rise economically. And, of course, much of it has to do with the tremendous amount of U.S. debt that is held by the Chinese. How does China and the U.S., along with U.S. and Chinese business concerns, overcome all of this? This is a lot on the table.
Exactly.
I think that's what Ray's group does.
And that's why we have so much support from Washington and from Beijing and from all levels, because exactly what you say, there's fear. Doesn't this remind you of early 80s when the Japanese were coming to you?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I had conversations in the early 80s when the great fear was that the Japanese were buying up all of Manhattan and much of Minnesota, if I recall correctly.
Right.
And that did not come to pass.
Right. And how does buying a ham company become national security threat?
For people who don't know, the Chinese are interested in buying Smithfield Ham, which is a historic Virginia company that has dealt with hams for years, and there are concerns about this. Well, the concerns, there are some foundation for concern. We've done several shows with American people who have done business in China, who have found, and I'm going to be in politic now, who have found that Chinese companies don't always do business on the up and up. And it may be that there are simply cultural differences in the way we consider what is right and what is wrong. But many people who have been on this program in the past have pointed fingers and said we can't trust them.
Absolutely. And that is both a culture and business practice. That's exactly what I said about it's the stage of development. They have succeeded in Africa because it's very much the same as China. Now, I'm not saying anything about the business practice is right or wrong. In fact, a lot of it is wrong, and the Chinese government recognize that. Such as, let's bring it up front, corruption. Mm-hmm. Corruption is a key issue in any early stage development in any economy. They're cleaning that up. Do they have the rule of law? Yes. But enforcement is an issue. So at that stage of development, you have to understand China come. I mean, I was extremely pessimistic when I first started getting involved. Then I realized, instead of getting pessimistic, it's like a kid. You can't keep beating up to them and say, you're bad, you're bad. They become bad. We have to find other channels to communicate, to exchange, to bring our values to them.
Eileen.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt this, because in the past 5 years with the Charlotte Chamber, I had a hands-on experience working with lots of Chinese companies. I would say that all the projects I'm working on, they are considering relocating to U.S. or Charlotte. It's business decision. It's a right business decision for the company because the project is becoming sophisticated. They want to increase the share in this market share in the States. They want to have a better partner in the States, just like a lot of European companies in Charlotte. And they come to Charlotte and they wanted to this market.
Lu Jian, Raymond Cheng said that some Chinese companies, many Chinese companies, have difficulty locating in America or doing business with America because they find it difficult to do business here because of regulations and because of expectations and perhaps different business and cultural practices. What makes it worth coming over here? If you're doing business in Australia and it's easy, if you're doing business in Africa and it's easy, why do you want to come to America? Why do you want to come to the American South, where our regulatory environment is probably more than other countries are?
It is true that it is quite difficult for the Chinese companies to come over and invest in the U.S. because of reasons that Mr. Raymond Chen just mentioned, such as regulations and not familiar with the culture in the U.S. But this is only one side of the point. The other point is that the U.S. manufacturing is quite advanced, and the U.S. has a quite robust innovation system. So for a long time, the U.S. has been occupying the upper part of the value chain.
它这个市场格局一旦形成以后，不仅是中国的企业来投资，很困难，其他国家的企业来投资也是非常困难。
Now, once this is set up, it is not only hard for Chinese companies to come over and invest. It is just equally difficult for other companies from other countries to come and invest. Because it will be more difficult for the newcomers to find their right position along this value chain.
而中国企业它有一个特点, 因为中国的工业化没完成。
And then for China, there is a particular characteristic because China is about to finish but not yet finished their industrialization. So in the past 30 years, you see most of the Chinese manufacturing are labor intense. And right now, we are just moving up the value chain and we are adjusting our own industrial structure. So now that we see lots of Chinese-made products going around the world,
主要还是属于一些消费品或者是一些加工代工的产品。
And majority of them are OEMs, and they are consumer products.
而这些产品的附加值都非常低。
Which carries a much lower value add.
但是中国的劳动力成本很便宜，所以它有一定的市场空间。
But because the labor cost in China is relatively low, so the Chinese manufacturers can still survive with such low cost and such low price.
Mm-hmm. 那么中国企业要投资美国，一定是要选准它的产品首先在美国具有一定的市场空间。
So what kind of Chinese companies should come over here and invest in the U.S.? First and foremost, it has to be companies that can see themselves have a market in the U.S.
另外就是选一些具有相对优势的一些产业或者产品进入美国市场。
And secondly is to make sure that you bring in the industry that which carries a competitive advantage in the U.S. market.
所以中国企业进入美国市场，它一定是要发挥它的一个比较优势。它没有这个现在没有跟美国的企业进行。 正面竞争的这种能力。
So he believes that the Chinese companies now entering the U.S. have to make sure that they understand the competitive advantage and not to go just head-to-head against their American competitors.
One of the things that we experienced during the NAFTA debate in this country was which way trade would be taking place and who would benefit and who would be hurt. And there are people who are convinced that the Clinton-era NAFTA trade agreements have hurt the United States, particularly the middle class, because that caused the disappearance of a lot of manufacturing jobs. They went to lower-wage countries. Should we be concerned about China coming in here and bringing products to market here that we have made but they can make cheaper because of their labor costs?
Number one, let me address one quick question that Lowell has mentioned. I was at a conference last December, and the Minister of Industry was on stage. And typical to most large conference government-related, there's something that chats about China is now the number one producer of manufacturing product in the world, slightly ahead of the United States. So the room went into huge applause. And then he said, guys, calm down. The reality is we have 110 million people making these products versus the United States has 12. So what does that mean? The United States is 10 times more productive than China. The issue now is, as I see all the rhetoric about manufacturing moving back to the U.S. and so forth and so forth, what we really need to address is the manufacturing of the future is no longer employment-based. It won't generate that many new jobs.
It's robotic.
Yeah, it's innovation. They call it the third industrial revolution, whatever you call it. The United States has innovated themselves out of competing in the manufacturing side. The most advanced manufacturing now, you see, these are light-out factories. So the issue is not how to compete making widgets, it's how to retrain the workforce here to be more productive into making things.
According to WFAE News, in the last 2 years, 12 Chinese companies have opened or expanded in Charlotte, Eileen. And in fact, China tops the list of international companies or organizations, states, which the Charlotte Chamber had conversations about moving to Charlotte. That's correct?
That's correct.
Why? Why this boom?
Well, first of all, Charlotte is a great location for a lot of projects, manufacturing projects, for engineering-related projects. And so in the past few years, we really attract a lot of traffic, these projects.
Well, I know that you take a lot of trips to China with business people from this area.
Yes.
What do you tell the Chinese that makes this that perks their interest?
Well, there's a few top reasons. For example, geographic location, labor costs, international airport, and the education. All these good reasons, and a lot of companies will consider here. And existing international companies. We already have pretty good international community here, and word of mouth, they say good things about Charlotte, and we have a lot of companies, we have a lot of China connections, for example, SPX, they do business with China, almost a lot of company here, they do business with China, so these China connections bring a lot of leads to us.
Now, Mike, if I may add to that, one of the things that we talked about when we were there in May was the fact that we have some incredible education institutions in North Carolina. We have brains here who are interested in technology and innovation. And we're actually going to be announcing a little bit later today that Huntersville with the Charlotte region and with SOZO, we will be hosting an innovation and technology conference for Asian entities here in February. We think this is the right location for that type of conference. Well, and actually, we'll probably be making this announcement at the EPIC Center. The EPIC Center at UNCC is a prime example of how the Charlotte region is moving forward with regard to energy and innovation and research. And we've got the educational institutions in North Carolina that many states don't have the quality of those. Also, we have a transportation network here that's incredible. Our location is fantastic. Our international airport is fantastic. And we have a state commerce department that's also open.
What role will the opening of the intermodal facility at the airport, where the trains will bring in materials from the ports east of us, mm-hmm. once the Panama Canal is expanded and allows larger ships through the canal from Asia. What impact will that have on Charlotte and its ability to do business with China and the rest of Asia?
Well, I think that's going to go hand in hand with the expansion of Wilmington as a port, with Savannah, with Charleston as ports too. I think that's just another piece of the puzzle and something that we can market as well. I think the whole region.
Jill Swain is the mayor of Huntersville, who went to China last month on an exploratory expedition and came back all enthusiastic. We'll find out a little bit more about why. And we have three guests from China and one from the Chamber of Commerce here. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Hendrick Honda Hickory, offering new and certified pre-owned Hondas to the Charlotte Metro and Western North Carolina on Highway 70 in Hickory and at HendrickHondaHickory.com. Well, the United States weighs a no-fly zone in Syria after determining the government of Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons on its citizens in a surprise landslide. Iran has elected a moderate conservative president, stunning the Islamic Republicans' hardline online establishment, and violent clashes spread in Turkey. So Diane Rehm and her guests talk about the latest developments in the Middle East and what they mean for the region and for the United States. That's coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show. We'll continue our conversation about this region's ties, possible ties, with business in China when we come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
News happens at any time with a speed that can take your breath away. Public radio reporters are getting the story straight right here in the next state over and around the world. It's a network that keeps you connected. It's a network that never shuts down. Check in for an update on your world.
NPR News plus local and regional news all day on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Chinese business interests in Charlotte, the Charlotte region, and vice versa with Jill Swain, who's the mayor of Hunter's Hill, who went to China last month on an exploratory mission and has somehow created, it must be your personality, has created this interest in this part of the world, in the Chinese, because they're already returning the visit.
Within a month.
Exactly right. And with us is Raymond Chang, CEO of the Sozo Group. Eileen Kai is Economic Development Director with the Charlotte Chamber with a special interest in Asia, who speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese. Lo Jun is the CEO of Asian Manufacturing Association, and he's speaking to us through a translator, Ming Zhong, who is amazing. off the air, we were talking with Raymond Chang about how up until now, many of these associations, these back and forths between the United States and China, or this region and China, have been, to use his words, Mickey Mouse.
That was a good phrase.
But now, things are beginning to change. You mentioned meeting with the Vice Chairman of the Communist Party in Hong Kong. And he had some encouraging things to say about expanding trade.
Yeah, I hope I get a chance to talk about this. Is really unique. The U.S.-China relations, at least on a geopolitical basis, on an economic basis, is probably the most important relationship between two countries in the forthcoming few decades. We had a great opportunity to sit down in Hong Kong, and he made himself very accessible to these small town mayors. His name is Tung Chi Hwa. He used to be the chief executive of Hong Kong. He's now a national leader for China. After he stepped down from being the CEO of Hong Kong, he's a vice chairman of CCPCC, the Chinese Communist Consultative Body, with the highest body in the government. He said, look, there's been tremendous amount of work going back and forth. There's been going five step forward, three step backwards. But what really needs to make things really happen and to realize the full potential between the two countries are the people, right? Are probably not the senior government officials, although it's heartwarming to see President Xi and President Obama roll up the sleeves, had a seven-hour conversation in Sunnyland, California. Mm-hmm. That, again, signify that we need to do things different. We need to have dialogue. We need to have communications.
But, of course, that meeting with the president of China and the president of the United States in California also brought up a lot of anxieties. There was a big article in Time magazine, I think it was last week or the week before, talking about what we don't understand and what we do understand about China. And China is a rising world power. And I'd like to hear from people who really know about this. Obviously, you do, Raymond Chang, but also Lo Jing, what they know about Chinese ambitions, because there's some saber rattling going on in Asia with China leading the charge. They see themselves, we are told by this article in Time, they see themselves as needing to return to their rightful place as a world leader on the globe, return to being the middle kingdom, and eclipsing the United States as a world power.
Well, can I answer that, Mike? Because this is something that was very significant to me when I went there. you and I were raised with this, whatever we read about China is what we tended to believe. And we rely on the media to tell us the story. And what I found when I was there, that we're way beyond the media. When you reach out and talk personally to the people of China, our needs are essentially the same, and our desires to reach out are essentially the same.
But as we know, the people of a country are not in charge.
Well, that's why
you hear me inhale on that one.
No, well, that works. It's true about this country as well. The people of this country are not in charge.
That is exactly right. And you know, I came home to the headlines that the Chinese are hacking. You know, that there's the internet hacking, and yet the exact same thing is happening over there with our country. I mean, we're all doing the exact same thing. Yes, so it's up to us.
There was an NPR story about the Schadenfreude. Is that the word that the Chinese are experiencing with us as we lecture them, that we have reason to be lectured ourselves.
Well, that is right.
I'm not trying to cast aspersions here. I just want to get to the bottom of this. What are Chinese ambitions? How does China see itself in the world?
其实有这种恐惧心理，我觉得根本的原因大家就是不理解，没交流。
He believes that the fundamental reason that creates such a fear in the U.S. about China, and maybe possibly so in China about the U.S., is because of lack of communication and people don't understand well enough upon each other.
中国的改革开放的时候，很多包括美国的一些外国企业在中国去投资。
In the early days when China opened, many foreign companies went to China and make investment in China.
我们在制造业领域，在服务业领域。
Like even until now, in the service industry as well as manufacturing industry, foreign companies has a big stakehold in China. And at that time in China, we had fear too. We are afraid that our economy will be controlled by foreigners. So we struggled to overcome this kind of fear by believing and persuading ourselves that we have to think freely. We have to be brave. And we also try to open ourselves even more to show people from outside that who the Chinese really are and what are our true intentions.
但是时间下来，我们认为这种改革开放是正确的。
Now, after 30 years of such experiment, we now feel comfortable to say that this kind of reform is right way to do.
外资企业在中国发展，它自身发展起来了，同时它对我们的产业也扶持起来了，而且也解决很多就业。And
the reason is because not only that the foreign companies made profit in China, their existence also helped to level the playing field so that the Chinese companies can become stronger too.
所以我们有一个观点，就是外资企业在中国改革开放的30年功不可没。
So we believe that the foreign companies has had a majority role to play for the success of China's economic reform in the past 30 years. So he believes now it is time for the U.S. for people in the U.S. to open their mind and be ready for change.
Eileen, you have your feet in both worlds, clearly. What do you see as the Chinese ambitions in the world, how they see themselves in the world? I know that if you've been a world power, at least an amazingly large regional power for centuries, and suddenly you're not, and you see a chance to come back, is there a chance for overindulgence, shall we say?
Well,
overcompensation.
Well, this is a very interesting question. I had opportunity working with a lot of Chinese companies and working with a lot of Chinese officials. I think what they try to accomplish in the States is they want to, you know, do better on their products. They want to make their company stronger. Mm-hmm. This is purely from business perspective. Okay. That's our focus to attract them to invest in Charlotte instead of somewhere else.
There are so many more people in China than there are in the United States. Why is this a valuable place to do business? When it seems to me you could enrich yourself simply by doing business in China.
that's not what the global market's all about. I mean, to answer your question just now, I think neither Laura or Kylie, especially, answered about China dream. Mm-hmm. That's basically China, what you ask
exactly,
about.
The China dream, exactly.
Okay,
right.
And then
perversion of the American dream.
The controversy and the fear came from the American call it the Asian pivot, the China call it the China dream. But what is really heartwarming is exactly what Joe's talking about. The media played it up, other than you. The media played it up, and they stir a certain amount of the fear, too. But what's really happening on the top government level is not that.
Okay.
For example, Mr. Tung Chee Hwa was absolutely candid with us, say, be careful. China is at this stage of development. You cannot just go into everything without doing proper due diligence. There are a lot of traps. There's a lot of issues still with companies, with individuals in China. He then introduced us to the Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs to lead us away. On the other hand, in America, the top trade officials, Undersecretary of Trade and Commerce, Francisco Sanchez, although he talks about the Asian pivot, he doesn't like the word American exceptionalism because he too believes the two superpowers need to find a way to coexist. And what does he do? He goes around, like Joe, hugging everybody. He goes around remembering everybody's name, and he goes to actually talk to everybody.
This is something we've joked about, this hugging business on and off in the last 20 minutes. But this is something that is evidently unique and powerful, because evidently you have been hugging the Chinese. And the Chinese, that's not part of their culture.
No. And I was told before I went on this trip, be very poised, be very gracious,
proper, and
very proper, and do not hug. But I fell in love with the people that I met. And I began to ask permission. Is it okay if I give you a hug? Well, I got hugs yesterday when I greeted them at the airport, because I promised them, too, if you come to America, I, the mayor, will greet you at the airport. And they greeted me with open arms. And I think that's pretty significant. I also think it was very significant after meeting C.H. Tung, the vice chair of the Communist Party, that I posted on Facebook that I found him to be a very kind and wise man. He was very open and very honest with us. And I said he's called it like he should. And he responded to that Facebook posting as well.
President Obama, in his most recent State of the Union message, referenced the importance of 3D printing to the future of manufacturing. And I know that, Lo Jing, I know that 3D printing is one of your areas of interest and expertise. You started the China 3D Printing Technology Industry Alliance. Why is 3D printing so important, and how does it play into whatever kind of a relationship our two countries and our two regions can establish with one another?
3D 打印技术对传统的制造业来讲的确是一次革命性的进步。
The 3D printing itself is really an innovation to and progress for the traditional manufacturing.
我们在讲制造业技术的革命，它一定是需要一个根本性的一个创新。
When we talk about innovation in manufacturing, we are talking about fundamental changes in that.
但是过去30多年来, 无论是美国还是中国, 3D打印技术一直都在发展。
And in the past 30 years, both in the U.S. and in China, the 3D printing technology has been developing.
但是过去无论是美国的3D打印技术还是中国, 都是小而散的一个局面没改变。
But up until today, the U.S. and China 3D printing technology has not been a leader in this industry. It has more been a few small-scale operations here and there.
由于3D打印技术它不是一个替代性很强的技术,
and because this technology is not a technology with a strong substitution,
所以全世界3D打印技术这个产业都没发展起来,
and that is a reason why that this industry hasn't really been developing quite quickly.
但是这个技术最早是80年的摩驱是在美国
But going back to the beginning, we have to say that this technology came from the U.S. Now that the technology level in China still has some distance away from that in the U.S.
作为中国政府和中国企业来讲，非常关注金融危机之后，美国
Now, both the Chinese industry as well as the Chinese government pays a lot of attention to what will be the next economic drive for the U.S. economy after the 2008 financial crisis.
那么去年奥巴马总统选择3D打印技术作为未来15个制造业中心的第一个中心的成立。
Now, as you mentioned in the State of the Union address, President Obama has announced the establishing the 3D printing laboratories in the U.S., and this becomes a very inspiration factor for us. So my dream is that we can work all the 3D printing operation in different countries can work together and make this a real industry.
In fact, the recent, I just came back from AMA's first World 3D Conference. It signified how things should be done. There were over 600 delegates. I brought two of the world authority from U.S., Terry Wooler's, and one from UK, Graham Trummer's there, and 122 international media covered the event. It tells you that how things will work.
We had a caller who couldn't hold very quickly because I'm short on time. The business she works for is currently doing business in China, and she wants to know, are there any books or resources that you could recommend about working in China?
Be there, learn the people, visit the people. Unfortunately, the books are all I hate to be so radical. Most books are off.
Right. This is a new process.
Raymond Chang is CEO of the Sozo Group. They're an international investment firm. Jill Swain's the mayor of Huntersville and went to China last month. Eileen Kai is economic development with the Chamber, the Charlotte Chamber. And